Welcome, my friends. We're so glad that you could join us today for worship. It is our sincere prayer that you will be blessed today as we worship together.
Good morning, my friends. As we look into the windows of Easter, the question that we want to ask ourselves today is, how do we pray? In as many different ways as there are people, some of us pray with our eyes open, others closed. Some raise their hands and others lower their heads. Some pray regularly and others sporadically. Some pray out loud and others in silence. And for some, prayer comes easily, and for others, it takes great effort. Daniel prayed 3 times a day at a set time and a set place. David seemed to be more spontaneous, and Moses made lengthy intercession for the Israelites. Job often called out to God in his anger and his despair, and while Mary, she just called out in joy and exaltation. However, each one of these people, they came with their prayers in their own way, and they said their prayers in their own way. And so there is something that we can learn from that. Psalm 86 says, "Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, you are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all those who call on your name."
Thank you.
Another time Jesus was praying, and when he'd finished, one of his disciples approached him.
"Teacher, would you teach us your way of prayer? John taught his disciples his way of prayer, and we're hoping that you'll do the same for us."
"Well," Jesus said, "here's how to pray. Father in heaven, may your name be revered. May your kingdom come. May your will be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the food we need for tomorrow. And forgive us for our wrongs, for we forgive those who wrong us. And lead us away from temptation. And save us from the evil one." Imagine that one of your friends comes over at midnight and he bangs on the door and he shouts, "Friend, will you lend me 3 loaves of bread?" "A friend of mine just showed up unexpectedly from a journey and I don't have anything to feed him." Would you shout out from your bed, "I'm already in bed, and so are the kids. I've already locked the door. I can't be bothered"? You'll know this as well as I do. Even if you didn't care that this fellow was your friend, if he keeps knocking long enough, you'll get up and give him whatever he needs simply because of his brash persistence. So, listen. Keep on asking, and you will receive. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened for you. All who keep asking will receive, and all who keep seeking will find. And those doors will open to those who keep knocking. Some of you are fathers, so ask yourselves this question. If your son comes up to you and asks for a fish for dinner, will you give him a snake instead? If your boy wants an egg to eat, and will you give him a scorpion? Look, all you are flawed in so many ways, yet in spite of all your faults, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to all who ask?
Well, it's a joy to be sharing in worship with you today. On this third Sunday of Lent, what a beautiful window on Easter we have been focusing upon, the window of prayer. What is prayer? There have been so many books written on this topic, so much could be said. If we were in a room together today and each took the time to share in one sentence their understanding of prayer, I would suggest there would be many different comments made. Many of us grew up in homes where we were taught to say our prayers before we fell asleep. Very likely we spoke out loud a short poem type prayer that we had been taught and memorized. And then we continued with that long list of "God bless mommy and daddy and Billy, all my aunts and uncles, cousins and friends." But as we grew older, we grew out of that prayer and started to speak our own words, offering words of thanksgiving and praise to God, perhaps saying the Lord's Prayer, bringing our petitions to the Father, and praying for others who were heavy upon our hearts. For many of us, no doubt we understood prayer to be this one-sided conversation where we did the speaking and God did the listening, and hopefully the answering in the manner and way we asked. And perhaps when the answer didn't come, we had our questions and doubts about the value of prayer and why we would even bother. Can I say doubts and questions can be good, as they can lead us on a journey for a deeper understanding of prayer and its necessary foundation in the life of a follower of Christ? Jesus taught a fair bit on prayer during his earthly ministry, but more than that, he modeled a life of prayer. There are several references to Jesus' prayer life. Let me share a few with you. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 6:12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Matthew 14:23. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Luke 11 and 1. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Luke 11 and 1. Are you getting the picture? The Gospels paint a picture of Jesus in the midst of his busy ministry, regularly stopping to be alone with God in prayer. In fact, as part of his teaching on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. Matthew 6 and 6. I believe the disciples couldn't help but notice the prayer life of Jesus, the rhythm he had of getting away from them and from the crowds to be alone with God. And I believe there was something within them that longed for a similar rhythm. They asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw the power, the fruit of his ministry, the transformation of lives around them. And I can't help but wonder if they believed it was a direct result of his connection with his Heavenly Father. As I have grown in my understanding of prayer, I have come to truly value a commitment to a daily set time and specific place for prayer. Depending on personal preferences, the season of life we find ourselves in, our surroundings, many factors can determine the best time of day for us. Equally important is a designated place, choosing a chair or a room where we can be in solitude, where we can be alone with God, away from distractions for a period of time. Many of us find mornings are best, before the hustle and the bustle of the day begins, where we can sit and start our day in quietness and stillness, in a spirit of receiving and nourishment rather than giving and activity. I have come to learn that I don't need quite as much sleep as I thought I did, and that setting the alarm for an earlier time is well worth it. And so I think it is obvious, and something you already knew, that prayer is all about our relationship with God. While the practice of solitude in a specific place and designated time is important, prayer is also very much about learning to live with an awareness of the presence of God as we go through our day. For those of us who are visual learners, Jesus gave us a beautiful image of our relationship with him in John 15, when he spoke of the vine and the branches. The branches, always connected to the vine, receiving daily sustenance, producing fruit for all to see. When Paul exhorts us to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15, I believe he was speaking about an openness to and a conscious awareness of God's presence within us, within each other, and in his beautiful creation around us. Doesn't nature just draw you into the very presence of God? Whether it is that glorious sunrise or sunset, a majestic mountain range, the countless stars in a cloudless dark sky, the singing of the birds, the flowing sound of a river. God's presence is all around us, and if we slow down long enough and invite God into our looking, he will make himself known, perhaps revealing something new or reminding us of words of scripture that will be just what we need in that moment. Before Jesus left the earth, he said to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always." Are we seeking to live that reality in the moments of our day? Do we seek to be conscious of his presence with us as we go about our everyday lives? In many respects, growing in our understanding and experience of prayer needs to be part of every believer's life. It's normal, and dare I say good, when what normally worked doesn't work anymore. We are always being called to a deepening experience of God, and therefore our experience of prayer should look different as the years go by. So if your prayer life has stopped working for you, it could be that God is calling you to something new and fresh, a closer relationship with Him. Ruth Haley Barton says, this transitional phase in the life of prayer can be frightening because it requires us to let go of what we have known in order to open ourselves to something new. Can I encourage you, though, that while it may be scary, it is life-giving and so worth pursuing. About 10 years ago, I felt a measure of discontentment in my daily walk with God and was searching for a rhythm that would better sustain me in my life and ministry. At that time, I began learning about the Lectio Divina approach to scripture reading. Now, Lectio Divina is simply Latin for sacred reading, and it invites the follower of Christ to approach a very short passage of scripture with an open heart, reading slowly, perhaps a couple of times, inviting God to draw us to a phrase or word that is for us in that moment. Once we have our word or phrase, we are invited to read the passage again, but the focus is to take some time to think on the word or phrase, asking questions like, how does this connect to my life today? Why would God draw me to this word or phrase? I mention this today because this approach to scripture reading is actually listening prayer. In the first two steps, we have listened for our word, for God to speak. We have meditated and listened as to how this word connects to us, to our present circumstance. And then after a third reading, we are invited to respond honestly to what God has been saying to us. Depending on what has been impressed upon our hearts, different emotions may be evoked in us when we read scripture prayerfully. Sometimes we may respond with confession, with praise, with anger, with disappointment, with questions, with doubts. All legitimate responses when we are being true and honest before God. Some find it helpful to journal while practicing sacred reading, as it helps them slow down and express themselves to God. The final invitation after the fourth reading is to simply sit with God in silence, inviting His loving presence to wash over us, to embrace us, to perhaps speak a final word or of assurance or direction to us. In my early days of prayerful scripture reading, I found being still before the Lord with no words the most challenging part, as it involved something that I really wasn't that accustomed to doing. Prayerful scripture reading, using these steps simply as a guide, provides that two-way conversation in prayer, and final moments when few or no words are shared. This kind of approach to scripture reading deepens our connection with God. We experience His loving presence at the very core of our being. Being open to new ways of what we say in the army, doing our devotions, can really help us to continue to experience inner change in our lives and more of that abundant life that a relationship with Jesus offers. To be honest, instead of saying, doing my devotions, I prefer to refer to devotional time as time set aside to be with God. As you know, we are in the Lenten season of the church calendar, a time for drawing extra near to God, a time to take stock of our lives, to do some soul searching, to ask God to speak to us and reveal what needs to be revealed to us. During Lent, we are invited to take some extra time with the prayer of David from Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. The Voice translation begins these verses with, explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply and discover who I am. From the earlier verses of Psalm 139, we know that God already knows who we really are and all about us. But by making this courageous prayer, we are asking him to show us so that we can get well acquainted with ourselves, with our struggle, with our blind spots, with our brokenness. Let me assure you that when we invite God to dig deeply, he does so while holding us in his loving presence. And it is there we have the opportunity to confess our sins, our weaknesses, our struggles, and to find his mercy and forgiveness extended to us. When we are alone before him, making that prayer to search us, I believe he also reveals our beauty and his deep love for us. As Christians, we are continually on this journey of transformation, of being restored to the image of God. And there will be certain aspects of God's character that will simply shine through us as we live in deepening fellowship with him. As I was preparing, the old hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, kept coming to mind. When we take time to slow down in God's presence with a variety of spiritual practices available to us, such as prayerful scripture reading, self-examination and confession, thanksgiving and praise, prayers of intercession and petition, moments of private worship, perhaps listening to our favorite worship songs, time can go quickly. And before we know it, an hour has passed, the sweet hour of prayer. I would encourage you to let the Spirit lead you in your prayer times. Let there be some variety in them, doing some of your favorite activities, both inside and outside, that nurture your relationship with him. And so, as I conclude, I ask, how is your prayer life? How is your relationship with God? Are you closer to God today than you were last year? Are you experiencing transformation in your life? Can I encourage you by saying that in the school of prayer, we are all beginners, and that we need to have to the front of our minds this idea of beginning again? On this journey we call life, we don't get it right every day. But it is so important to quickly pick ourselves up and get ourselves back on track when we get distracted, because it is in that life-changing relationship with God we find our hope, our peace, our strength, our joy, and we become that authentic light in a world that needs to know the love of God. And so, with the disciples of old, we say, Lord, teach us to pray.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul burn with strong with such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while past